Welcome to the Back 9 Report, presented by eDraft.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Back 9 Report, presented by eDraft.com. We go live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, checking on the world of golf to bring you the latest news, insights, analysis, interviews, recaps, previews. Hey, we cover anything and everything golf. My name is Carlos Torres. Every week, I'm alongside my co-host, Fred Alvader, who was out last week. And I want to thank Kieran Clark once again for his great work last week, subbing in for him. So, Fred, welcome back. How are you today?
I'm great, Carlos. Yeah, thanks. Thanks to Kieran. He always does a great job. It's great to be back after a week off. I had a wonderful week exploring Lake Charles, Louisiana. What a great area for golf and fantastic food, Carlos. The PGA Tour 2015 season came to a close last week with the Tour Championship, and Jordan Spieth collected the win as well as the big check. The LPGA Tour starts its Asian swing, and the Web.com Tour will award its 25 new PGA Tour cards this week at TPC Sawgrass. We got a lot to talk about, Carlos. Let's go!
We have a ton to talk about. Let's see if we can wrap it up in an hour. It's going to be difficult, but we'll see. Anyway, we're going to start right away with the weekend backspin. And we had the LPGA, the European Senior Tour, and the Challenge Tour had the week off. So we start with the main event this past weekend, and that was on the PGA Tour, the Tour Championship by Coca-Cola from the East Lake Golf Club in Atlanta, Georgia. Hey, Fred, Jordan Spieth, he didn't need the Tour Championship, the FedEx Cup, or that extra $10 million to prove anything to anybody. He just played that way after closing with a 1-under-69 for a four-shot victory. No matter what happened Sunday at East Lake, his highlight was always going to be the green jacket he won at the Masters with a record time score. The U.S. Open title he won at Chambers Bay only made it better. His bid for the Grand Slam, his run through the majors, and his awards made this season a one to remember. And then the 22-year-old Texan put on a finishing touch that made it all the more sweeter and richer. This is the kid Ben Crenshaw met as a teenager and said later, upon looking into his eyes, that he thought he was looking at Wyatt Earp. Imagine how Henrik Stenson felt when Spieth dropped in one big putt after another. In the end, the hard luck suite could only smile. That dagger, as Spieth later said in an interview, was at the par 3 11th, the biggest turning point in the final round. Spieth had a two-shot lead and hit a 5-iron heavy, and when he got to the green, it wasn't hard to size up the score. I mean, he was 45 feet away. Stenson was looking at just a three-footer. You know what was going to happen. But yet, Spieth rolled in the long putt for birdie to give his two-shot lead. Stenson made a bogey on the next hole. Spieth rolled in par putts from 8 feet on the 15th and 16th. And when his drive on the 17th fairway, a bunker right, the lake on the left, hit the fairway, Stenson said he knew it was over. Those are the details of a day that cap off a great, great season for Spieth. I mean, he this year won $1 million for every year he has been alive, a total of $22 million. That victory was worth $1.485 million at the Tour Championship, which pushed his total for the season for over $12 million. Add that to this $10 million bonus, and he went over to $22 million. The previous record for the money title belonged to Vijay Singh, who won $10.9 million in 2004. And the previous record for prize money and the bonus belonged to Tiger Woods, who in 2007 brought in $20.8 million over that. The big difference, we have to point that, right? Woods won the first year of the FedEx Cup in 2007. That time, the money was deferred. So, you know, but anyway, Spieth took home $9 million of the bonus in cash. As for the player of the year, I don't think there's any more debate here. I mean, he just clearly won it. I mean, the ballots went out to players on Sunday night. I think all of them were already filled up with Jordan Spieth's name. And one thing that I have to mention, you know, one thing that caught my attention was that when he was asked about what was different about this time after missing the two cuts, he said that he made this one the approach as if it were a major championship. You know, he missed those two cuts, but then he showed up on Monday morning and was the first player on the practice range at Eastlake. He brought his coach, Cameron McCormick, here from Dallas, and then on Sunday he showed up 3 hours ahead of time. 3 hours? Are you kidding me? I mean, when they asked Michael Greller, he said, that's an early grind. We only do this at the majors. I mean, even the first group had not even teed off, and those early starters were on the side of the green as they stoked putts and sharing laughs. Speed was wearing tennis shoes and was on the other side of the green, and he was all business. That will tell you what kind of a mentality this guy has. And to finish, before passing it on to you, Fred, you know, Spieth wasn't the only player who made a putt worth a lot of money. Stenson, if you can call that a consolation, his runner-up finish moved him from 4-2 in the FedEx Cup, which comes with a $3 million bonus. It almost fell apart on 17, but when he made that putt on 18, second place in the standings, placed $3 million. Okay, so that was a $3 million putt. Or let's say it a $1 million because the third place pays $2 million. So it's a $1 million putt. But anyway, you could see him that he couldn't even celebrate. He just sank it in. Well, that's kind of a consolation. So, Fred, how about this PGA Tour Championship? I mean, the FedEx Cup Championship and the Tour Championship won by Jordan Spieth.
Well, you make a really good point, Carlos, on Spieth's intensity. That's exactly what sets him apart from everybody else right now. You know, the tournament, the Tour Championship is the final event of the 2015 golf season, and Spieth finished the year making 24% of the putts he attempted from 20 to 25 feet. I mean, that is an unbelievable number. That just validates his concentration and his focus and his belief in himself. He holed over 700 putts from 10 feet or more throughout the year. It's just, you know, it's for sure with him, drive for show and putt for dough, like $22 million worth of dough. We talked last year at this time about Ricky Fowler finishing top five in all four majors. Jordan Spieth finished win, T4, which was really a runner-up, and runner-up. Greatest performance in one season in the majors since Ben Hogan and Tiger Woods both won three majors several years ago. I'm not a big stats guy, Carlos, but here are some numbers that tell the story for Spieth this year. Strokes gained putting, plus 1.72. You take that over 4 days, over 72 holes, that's a lot. He can, you know, he can hit a little shorter than everybody else. One putt percent, 36%. A third of the time, he's only taken one putt on the green. Proximity around the green, 4'9". Scrambling, 84%. So, Carlos, the next time you're working on your short game out at the range, drop 10 balls 10 yards from the green and try to get 8 of them up and down. Jordan Spieth is getting 8.4 out of 10 up and down on the PGA Tour quality greens. You know, that's including Augusta National, TPC Sawgrass, Wilson Straits, St. Andrews, and Chambers Bay. Those are a lot more different than your local Muni golf course, I guarantee you. He just turned 22 in July. He's the youngest ever to win the Tournament of Champions, the FedEx Cup, the Player of the Year, the Vardon Trophy, yada-da-da-da. Just simply an incredible year. Oh, yeah, by the way, he kind of regains the number one spot in the official world golf rankings. As you mentioned, he closed out Henrik Stenson on numbers 8 through 11 when just as Stenson was trying to make a run. He's got a killer instinct. Henry was knocking it close, but Spieth did not want to give him any glimmer of hope. Made long putt after long putt. What a weapon to have in your bag. Like I mentioned, he doesn't have to hit it 320 yards into the rough. He can hit it 280, 290 in the fairway, and is confident enough in his chipping and putting. That's where he has the advantage on these guys. Carlos, this is exactly what I've said about Tiger Woods for many years. Tiger had the best short game in the world and didn't use it to his advantage. He continued and still continues today to search for distance when a little accuracy would work much better. He could take 20, 30 yards off, and if he got it up and down, his scores would come down dramatically. Spieth understands his game like a veteran and is comfortable with it. He then depends on his tenacity and mental focus to get the job done. Very mature attitude. Speaking of mature, Spieth will spread the wealth of his $22 million earnings with his team, his caddy, his agent, his manager, everybody else involved. And then, he added, they would sit down at the end of the year and make a plan to get better next year. What's he going to win the Grand Slam next year? What? There's not much left to do, man. He's already, you know, I mean, he's got a place in the Hall of Fame already. 22 years old, and he's already a lock for the Hall of Fame. In addition to earning over $12 million prize money, he collects the $10 million FedEx Cup bonus, not to mention the probable $80 million he's going to garner in additional endorsement dollars. Two majors and a slew of PGA Tour wins tends to get Fortune 500 marketing executives' attention. We're going to talk about Tiger Woods earning the most money over a 10-year period in a little while, but Jordan Spieth is going to blow that number away probably in the next 5 years. He's already earned more than Tiger ever did in a single year. Purses are bigger now, and Spieth is more likable and probably more marketable than Tiger ever was. In 3 years, he's already won over $20 million in prize money. He has that rare combination of John Wayne and Clint Eastwood. He's got that Texas swagger with dogged determination and a killer mentality, all the while smiling for the cameras and enjoying the competition. Four young guys were in the mix near the top of the leaderboard all week. We're going to talk about them a little bit later. Spieth won, of course. Jason Day finished T10 along, although Ricky Fowler and Rory McIlroy faltered slightly on Sunday with a pair of 74s. They finished T16 for the week. In the final FedEx Cup standing, Spieth number one, Day number three, Fowler number four, Rory number 15. The new big four had a very good year, Carlos.
Yeah, we're going to be talking a lot about that on the practice range. So, you know, just to mention more a little bit, just one comment to close this on the FedEx Cup. The last seven tournaments that have been played on the FedEx Cup have been won by 20-somethings. If you might remember, Billy Horschel won two of them, the Deutsch and the Tour Championship. And Chris Kirk, he's 30 now, but he was 29 last year when he won there. So Hunter Mahan was the only one when he won the Barclays at 33. So the youth movement is still going. And like you mentioned, this big four, we're going to have a lot to talk about. So wait for it on the practice range from us. And there were some other tournaments. Yes, let's start with the European Tour, with the Porsche European Open, first time after 6 years returning to the Tour. And it was played from the golf resort Bad Griesbach in Bad Griesbach in Germany, where Thongchai Jaiti won after a bogey-free final round of 67. He became the 21st man this season on the Tour to convert a position at the head of the leaderboard at the end of the third round to an ultimate victory. He just needed a par at the last hole, and after his approach from 210 yards out from the first cut off rough, the ladder off a spectator building got up and down to beat runner-up Graham Storm by a shot. Storm had moved into the outright lead after birdies in 9, 10, 12, and 15, but landed his tee shot on the par 3, 17th in the hazard and made bogey. Pelle Edberg, he bogeyed in his opening two holes, but three successive hits. Birdies at the start of the back nine helped him to a 2-under 68 and the final podium position. The best round of the day was 65 by Scott Henn, which took the Australian to fourth spot. So, Fred, looks like Thongchai Jaiti is sending a message to the guys here in America on the President's Cup.
Well, you know, he's been playing really well the last 5-6 years for sure. He's always up around the top of the leaderboards. It seems like he pops up all the time. You know, he does appear to be ready for the President's Cup. The Porsche European Open was his 7th European Tour title. He's now number 8 in the race to Dubai and number 32 in the world ranking. This was his 6th top 10 this year, and he's earned over 1.4 million euro. You know, he's been a world-class player for a lot of years and seems to still be improving. Carlos, since we're here, I'll just go ahead and mention that the Champions Tour, Esteban Toledo won, got a win when Watson kind of faltered down the stretch. But Watson still finished runner-up at the age of 66. Esteban Toledo, who we've hat on the back nine report, got his third Champions Tour win at the Nature Valley First Tee Open at Pebble Beach this weekend by outlasting the 66-year-old Watson. Speaking of Tom Terrific, did you see he turned down the PGA's offer of induction into the PGA Hall of Fame due to their firing of his good buddy Ted Bishop after the Twitter faux pas last year? Current PGA Prez Derek Sprague contacted Watson, and he replied, "While I was very flattered by PGA of America President Derek Sprague's honoring me to be inducted into the PGA Hall of Fame, I couldn't accept in good conscience, because of how the PGA mishandled the firing of my friend and immediate past president of the PGA, Ted Bishop." Finally, Carla, someone has the guts to say something about the terrible way the PGA handled the Ted Bishop situation last year. With just three events remaining before the season-ending Charles Schwab Cup Championship in Scottsdale, Jeff Maggart and Colin Montgomery are tied atop the CSC, the Charles Schwab Cup standings, with Bernhard Langer close behind, Carlos.
And there was also action on the Web.com Tour, the Nationwide Children's Hospital Championship from the Ohio State University Scarlet Course in Columbus, Ohio. You like how I said it?
Amen. Amen, baby. Amen.
There it is. There it is. Where former All-American Andrew Loop became the second LSU Tiger to be crowned Web.com Tour champion this season, joining Smiley Kaufman. When he fired a 1-under-70 on Sunday's final round to capture a two-shot victory, he left no doubt in his PGA Tour status for next season, and he finished two shots clear of Tom Hoge, Bronson Bergen, and Roberto Castro in a tie for second place, 3-under. So by taking that $180,000 paycheck for his victory, he catapulted himself 30 spots and now is on the money list at number 3, and he will tee it up at the Web.com Tour Championship at TPC Sawgrass this weekend, knowing his PGA Tour card is already secure. And finally, on the Ladies European Tour, I have a quick note here. Celine Herbin, she delighted the home galleries there in France when she won an exciting 3-hole playoff against Danish rookie Emily Petersen to claim her maiden professional victory at the Lacoste Ladies Open de France. Dame Malin Jorgensen ended 2 strokes back on the 9 under par to record her second third place in 3 tournaments following the Helsingborg Open. By the way, Charlie Hall ended up alone in 4th place at 8 under par after a final round of 67. So, Fred, any words on this final 2 tournaments?
No, just I hated that I had to miss the Nationwide Children's Hospital tournament down in Columbus last weekend because I was out of town. But your guy, Patton Kazir, had to withdraw with an injury. He currently leads the Web.com Tour money list, and he's the only player who can mathematically surpass him is number 2, Dawe Vanderwalt. PGA Tour veteran Ches Reavie leads the final series money list, with Jonathan Vegas clearly on the bubble at number 25. Billy Hurley, Scott Langley, Robert Garrigus, and Bill Lund, all PGA Tour veterans, are just outside looking to move up this week at TPC Sawgrass when they hand out those last 25 cards, Carlos.
And that wraps up our weekend backswing. We're going to take our first break, and when we come back, we're going to have the Par 5 News sponsored by United Golf Network. Don't go anywhere.
Thank you for listening. We'll be right back. In the meantime, don't forget to visit www.edraft.com for analysis, breaking news, and more. Also, remember to follow us on Twitter at edraftsports and on Facebook at facebook.com/edraftsports. Now, back to the show.
And we're back, and now it's time for the Par 5 News, sponsored by United Golf Network. We have news from all around the world of golf. And Fred, you're going to tee it off. Apparently, Alex Nicelli, he has a new role. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, Carlos, we've seen Alex Nicelli on the Golf Channel as an on-site reporter, and he did a stint on the couch as an analyst for one of its weekly shows for a few years. You know, we've read his articles in Golf Week and other golf publications for years. Alex graduated from Southern Illinois University and received a law degree from the University of Baltimore. Yeah, he's a lawyer hanging around in the golf business. He was a leader in internet golf reporting when he started golf.com and later sold it. He is somewhat combative in interviews. He's known, you know, it's when he starts asking a question in a press conference, everybody kind of rolls their eyes because here goes Alex with professional golfers and sees himself as a true news reporter type. I have had the opportunity to talk with Alex on several occasions, and we have had him as a guest on Back Nine Report, and I've always found him to be insightful, bright, and somewhat humorous. He will be taking on a big job at Golf Week. He has to successfully juggle content, advertising, budget constraints, and manage a staff of writers in a declining golfer population and declining number of people who even read paper magazines. The good news is he has the knowledge and experience to handle the big job, and we want to wish him all the luck as the new publisher of Golf Week magazine.
And I have to second that. The best of success for him. We know he's going to do well there at Golf Week. Hey, you said that we were going to talk about Tiger Woods. Let me tell you something. Floyd Mayweather Jr. may have made the most money over the last 2 years, but in the past 10 years, there's an athlete who has made more. The highest paid athlete over the past 10 years is currently ranked 222nd in the world golf rankings. His name? Well, Tiger Woods. Over the past 10 years, he has earned an estimated $845 million, with his peak coming in 2008 with $115. According to Forbes magazine, he was the first athlete to accumulate more than $1 billion in career earnings, with endorsements representing nearly 90% of his career income. Mayweather landed at number two on the list with $660 million in that 10-year earnings, a big portion being from his record-setting bout with Manny Pacquiao in May, which earned him nearly $250 million for some, I don't know how to call that, boxing. Anyway, number three was Kobe Bryant with $475 million, and LeBron James is fourth with $472 million. Lefty, yeah, golfer Phil Mickelson rounds out the top five with $468 million. The only female athlete on the list is Maria Sharapova, a tennis player, with 10 years early earnings of $250 million. Woods tops Forbes' latest list of highest-paid athletes over the last decade, but it has been a staggering fall for him, who has the top-ranked golfer for 683 weeks during his career, including as recently as May of 2014. Injuries have limited him to only 20 events in the past 2 years and a single top-10 finish. He has missed a cut six times since the start of last year, and after missing only nine in the previous 16. But his peak on and off the course was so much higher than everybody else, which enabled him to earn those $845 million since June of 2005. He has made $1.4 billion since turning pro in 1996. He's $110 million in PGA career prize money, 42% higher than number two Phil Mickelson. Add in a couple of $10 million payouts for winning the FedEx Cup in 2007 and 2009, as well as winnings from non-PGA events, and Woods' on-course earnings topped the $150 million during his career. So, you know, Fred, it's incredible all those stats of money that he has earned, yet now we're seeing him that he's like a falling star right now and becoming virtually non-existent. So, what is going to happen with him? We're talking more about him in terms of can he come back instead of breaking Jack Nicklaus' record for most majors career lifetime. So I bet those endorsements are going to start shifting towards anybody on the big four, and we think we know that Jordan Spieth is going to have a big chunk of that.
Yeah, that's for sure happening as we speak. And you know, I just, you know, old man time, you know, he's not a very, very, very funny guy. He gets everybody, you know, sooner or later. And Tiger's body's just falling apart. And you know, I guess it's just time. Going to be 40 years old here pretty quick. Speaking of a little bit older guy, Jim Furyk withdrew from the Tour Championship last week, citing a wrist injury. that was preventing him from competing. He also withdrew from the BMW Championship the week prior due to the same injury. Puret continued rehabilitation of a lingering bone contusion on his left wrist. In a statement, "While I am disappointed to miss this week's event in Atlanta, I am now placing all my efforts on being healthy and ready to play in the President's Cup. Jay Haas will be made aware of my progress in the coming days as we see how the injury responds to treatment." The President's Cup, of course, will be held October 8th through the 11th next week in Incheon City, South Korea. Furyk earned sufficient points to automatically qualify in this fifth spot for the President's Cup and is currently ranked seventh in the world. The possibility of Furyk being unable to compete has led to speculation who would be named to replace him. The top two names that keep popping up, I'm kind of one way on this, you're the other, but Brooks Koepka and J.B. Holmes are two of the more recognizable names that that kind of you hear around. Koepka had one win, eight top tens, and 14 top 25s this season on the PGA Tour. He earned $3.5 million and finished number 12 on the FedEx Cup standings. Holmes had one of his best years on tour, was number 12 on the President's Cup team standings. He won the Shell Houston Open, had two runner-up finishes, and earned over $4 million. He was inside the top 10 in both the BMW Championship and the Tournament of Champions over the last couple weeks, and he finished the season ranked number 16 in the FedEx Cup. You want some more youth? How about names like Daniel Berger, Tony Finau, or Justin Thomas? They'll probably be in line for Ryder Cup berths next year. Might be a little bit too soon for President's Cup this year. And if you want to talk about another veteran, Hunter Mahan missed qualifying for an international team event for the first time in a long time. He has experience, but he has played poorly this year, but he played well in the third week there in the playoffs. So I don't think you're going to see Hunter Mahan. I don't think you're going to see one of these other guys. You possibly could see Koepka. You possibly could see Holmes. I'm pulling for Koepka, Carlos.
I know. I would love for him to be there, but I think that ultimately it's going to be J.B. Holmes. You know, his fifth in driving distance, 310-yard average, and he finished 12th, just one shy of Bill Haas's number 11, and he's in the group, so it makes sense for Captain Jay Haas to pick him. Hey, he was just one off it. He won't lose anything by picking him. He was just one slot from there. So I believe at the end of the day, and he finished playing better than Brooks Koepka here on the FedEx Cup. So to me, J.B. Holmes has the momentum, and that's why, you know, those two factors, you know, he ended up playing better than Brooks. And Brooks didn't play well at the beginning. He just played good now on the Tour Championship, so JB was good all over.
Yeah, but Brooks did all this basically in 1 year. He just started playing last fall on the PGA Tour.
You have to go with the guy that is really playing well. If you see, he was just 12. Brooks Koepka was not there.
Right.
I'm on close. I know. You know. So JB playing well. He was almost there. He has the momentum. I would pick the guy that is hot. But as we know, history goes some other way, and maybe we'll see neither Koepka or Holmes there. I don't know. So, anyway, if Furyk is not there, we're betting on one of these two. We'll see what happens. Maybe next week we'll have some news on it. And hey, let me talk a little bit about a guy that, you know, he's putting $29 million that he has earned in careers to good use, and I'm talking about Dustin Johnson. DJ, who has made over $5.2 million on tour this year, has purchased a waterfront home in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, for $4.95 million. Fronting the Intercoastal Gate Waterway, about 80 miles north of Miami, DJ's new mansion is a Mediterranean-style home that has a resort-like vibe with three ocean view balconies, a covered patio, and a swimming pool with a waterfall and a grotto. Within nearly 8,200 square feet of space is a living room with double height ceilings, an insulated wine room, and a family room with custom wet bar. The interior defines luxury with a master suite with a two walk-in closets among five bedrooms and 6.5 bathrooms. Okay, but possibly the best and most luxurious feature of the lot sits outside. It's a private island. The island is just steps away from the house across the dock, but an island nonetheless. And the dock continues to a secluded lounge area on the other side. It basically has a wood plank walkway that runs through the dense forest of the private islet to a wide dock and a palapa tub bar. The house came on the market first in June for $5.9 million. The seller was investment manager Curtin Munson, who paid $3.2 million for the house in 2012. That's according to Gossip Extra. And Danielle Munson of Platinum Properties was the listing agent. Jeremy Brown of Hughes Realty Group representing the buyer. Fred, I just have one advice for DJ for the sake of little Tatum's well-being, his son. Fence that backyard and please train that forest on the islet, man. I mean, it looks like deep woods over there. And with all that money, I mean, that would be cheap for you.
I got a feeling the nanny won't be too far from that little boy very, very often. Hey, you know, Paulina, you know, she needs a little space to move around. You know, you can't just keep her cooped up in a little three-bedroom apartment. You know what I'm saying? Hey, and the seller, you know, 60% return on his money in 2 years? That's a pretty good deal, man. In a down the real estate market, that guy knows something. Hey, Carlos, the NCAA is at it again. This probably will turn out sound a little bit more like a rant because it probably is. I'm not a big NCAA fan. You'll probably understand that as I go through this, but they announced severe penalties against the SMU golf team for recruiting violations that happened under Josh Gregory a couple years ago and seem pretty minor to me in the whole big scheme of things. The penalties are not in the category of the $60 million fine that they levied against Penn State in the Jerry Sandusky affair, but severe enough to a growing golf program for sure. The SMU men's golf program will be ineligible for postseason play this season after the NCAA found multiple violations involving recruiting and unethical conduct. Mustang senior Bryson DeChambeau, who was this summer became only the fifth player to win the individual NCAA championship and the U.S. amateur in the same year, will be unable to defend his title next year in Eugene, Oregon. Isn't that special? The school said DeChambeau can't compete at the NCAA's, even as an individual. SMU has 15 days to decide whether to appeal the penalties per NCAA guidelines. The official announcement was that they found the former men's coach, Josh Gregory, who helped lead Augusta State to back-to-back national titles in 2010 and 2011, committed multiple recruiting infractions, including 64 impermissible contacts with 10 prospects and 7 parents of prospects over a 10-month period in 2013. So we're talking a good 2 years ago. So as a result, the team is now banned from postseason play next year, this year, 2015-2016. They also are going to lose some scholarships over the next 4 years. The NCAA, let's penalize the kids that are on the team now that had absolutely nothing to do with the coach or the school 2 years ago. The guy, you know, Josh Gregory's out of a job. You know, I mean, he's not coaching anywhere. He's out of, you know, they've taken care of that. He can't come back. He can't coach again until after 2019, and then he'll have to apply, and they probably won't let him back in. That's one thing. You know, you want to do something about this. But, yeah, this is so stupid, Carl. It's just typical NCAA BS. In a statement, SMU said that it strongly disagrees with the postseason ban for men's golf, as a discipline is punitive for every student athlete and coach, none of whom were involved with the infractions. The men's basketball program was also hit with severe sanctions at SMU, which included a one-year postseason ban, scholarship reductions, vacation of wins, and a nine-game suspension for head coach Larry Brown. Former Mustang golf coach Josh Gregory said on Golf Channel, "Shocked, disappointed, very sad. I've admitted my mistake since day one, but I've never hidden from it. I know I made a mistake, but I don't understand this. It doesn't fit the crime." Yeah, I think he's exactly right. Carlos, the NCAA is antiquated. an overblown bureaucracy and completely out of touch with today's demands on collegiate athletic departments and coaches. I can't wait until the current television contracts with the NCAA expire and each individual league tells the NCAA to go fish.
I don't have anything else to add. I mean, you just got it all there. I just don't want to hurt NCAA more than what you already did. So.
Yeah, it's just you know what?
NCAA,
I've been against them for a long time. I thought they've just been stupid. Their rules are antiquated. They're so far out of touch with what reality is. And then when they came in this Jerry Sandusky thing and fined Penn State $60 million, for what? Why would you fine a university $60 million? The legal people take care of that kind of stuff.
Yep,
what's the NCAA
right.
doing fine? That was the last straw for me for the NCAA. And I think for a lot of people, presidents, college presidents all around the country looked up and said, oh, wow, if the NCAA can do that, maybe we don't need these guys. Let's look for something else. So they just
right.
killed themselves, man.
Yeah, I have to totally agree. That's insane. Anyway, one more news note. You might remember how Irish amateur Paul Dunn hit the headlines after his heroics at the 144th Open this year. He began the fourth round at St. Andrews in the final pairing and was looking to become the first amateur to have his name engraved on the claret jug since Bobby Jones in 1930. But then a 6-over par 78 saw him drop down the field into a tie for 30th, 9 shots adrift of the eventual playoff winner, American Zach Johnson. After that, the University of Alabama graduate announced his intention to join the paid ranks following the conclusion of the Walker Cup at Royal Lytham and St. Anne's in September, whether he was selected or not. GMAC even gave him his endorsement. Well, after having sunk the decisive putt as GB and I regained the Walker Cup in comprehensive fashion at Royal Lytham earlier this month, he took to Twitter on Tuesday to retweet a post from management company Four Sports World, which read, "Irishman Paul Dunn has announced he has signed a long-term exclusive representation contract with Four Sports World. Welcome to the team, at Dunners11, which is the Twitter ID for Paul Dunn." And with that, it was official. He becomes the third member of the victorious GB&I Walker Cup team to turn professional after fellow Irishman amateur star Gavin Moynihan and Shropshire's Ashley Chesters. By the way, Chesters, as you might remember, even though it was Dunn who had led at the 54-hole mark, it was Chesters who won the silver medal, and both will be making their professional debut this week at the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship. So best luck to both of them, and look forward to seeing their pro careers. Hey, by the way, remember, there's a big four out there that's accepting any challengers, so look up to them. Fred, with that, we wrap up the Par 5 News sponsored by United Golf Network, and I believe we have some words from our sponsor.
Yeah, Carlos, United Golf Network wants every golfer to enjoy the game more and have the opportunity to earn money while doing it. I got to spend some time with Bill Parvier last week on Saturday, who is a managing partner right now of United Golf Network, and he has some great programs, new things coming online with United Golf Network. Just the travel piece for United Golf Network alone is worth a look at joining their organization. It's really a good deal. They have an excellent product line. They will meet any competitor's pricing. And then if you're a director, you even get a 10% discount off of that. So if you're a golf nut, if you're looking for great deals on equipment, great deals on golf travel, United Golf Network is a place to check. UnitedGolfNetwork.com. Go on there, check out their products, discounts, and their opportunity, Carlos.
And with that, we wrap up the Par 5 News presented by United Golf Network. We're going to take our second break, but when we come back, we have our very important guest, PIG of the Week. His name is Mike May. Don't go away.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Back Nine Report presented by eDraft.com. We'll be right back. Don't forget to check out our co-hosts on Twitter by clicking their names in the episode description. Now, back to the show.
And we're back, and now it's time for our very important guest, BIG of the Week segment. And we're going to have Mike May. He's a marketing communications consultant for Fate America. So, Fred, tell us a little bit about this interview.
Yeah, Carlos, Mike is a good friend of mine. We met some time ago, and he's also a contributing writer for my NW Golf Links magazine. And he does a lot of travel, checks out a lot of golf courses for us, and he also is a spokesman for Fit America. He travels around doing television interviews and promoting the to get the legislation passed to allow individuals to use their health savings accounts that they put money aside at work, use it for things for fitness, for even for golf memberships. You know, anything involved with healthy activities. So, we taped a little segment. We're actually sitting in the airport, in the Dallas airport, when we did this. And so, go ahead and run that, Carlos.
We are happy to be talking to Mike May today, who is working with Fit America. And Mike is a contributor to NW Golf Links and a good friend of Back Nine Report. And Mike, we're really happy to be talking to you today.
It's a pleasure. It's always exciting to be on your show and to talk about the work of Fit America.
Hey, now when you say Fit America, you're talking about PHIT. Now, what is that? What does that anagram stand for?
Actually stands for some piece of legislation that we're trying to get passed through Congress right now. The P is personal, H is health, I investment, T today, personal health investment today. It's actually H.R. 1218 is the piece of legislation. We're hoping to get it passed this year or next year. In a nutshell, it would allow Americans to use health savings accounts, HSAs or medical savings accounts, that millions of Americans have. You can deduct up to $2,000 pre-tax from your salary, and it would allow you to use physical activity expenses that are exercise-related to get reimbursed for those expenses, as to what is now allowed, which is just sick care expenses, doctor's copays, surgery, dental costs, Tylenol, prescriptions, things like that. Let's reward Americans for being active with their health. And I'm one person who uses exercise as medicine. If I can do it, other people can do it.
I know this has been around for a couple of years. We've had someone on the show before talking about Fit America. And so what's the status currently? Where are we at with this thing?
We've been around since January of 2013, so we're 2.5 years old. We are educating Americans about our inactivity pandemic. It's a national issue. It will only be solved locally. 83 million Americans are doing absolutely nothing. As a result, we have huge health care costs that are related to physical inactivity. What are we doing to confront this? We actually started this school year, just a few weeks ago. We've distributed what we call Go Grants to PE programs in 156 elementary schools to help them revive and give attention to what has been a much neglected part of the school day. And it's exciting.
Yeah, that sounds exciting. That is good. Get started right in the schools, get the kids going. We're always looking for something to keep them active, exercise, and get them away from the smartphones and the tablets.
If schools want better academic results, which is always the goal of a superintendent or a principal, we actually have lots of proof through many studies that active kids do better. They're also fitter. So let's get children who are in good shape physically and also aspiring in the classroom. It'll transform the society, and we educate people about how to exercise. They'll do it the rest of their lives.
So this is a golf show, so we're talking about exercise in general. So what is the golf tie-in for Fit America?
Good question. As it relates to personal health investment today, expenses such as buying golf clubs, private instruction, entering golf tournaments, those kinds of things are reimbursable through the Fit Act if we get it passed. There's also proof that if you are engaged in physical education, you're three times more likely to play golf later in life. That's generally speaking the rule of thumb is if you educate people how to be active, they'll be active later in life, and it's three times more likely if they have PE. So if we want more golfers, let's get them active in PE.
Yeah, we're always promoting growing the game of golf. Everybody gives a lot of lip service to it, and, you know, what are people really doing? This seems to be another piece where if you can get reimbursed using your health savings account for green fees or for country club memberships and for clubs and equipment and those kind of things, it seems like a no-brainer.
It is. If people are it would be great if we had a society where we were getting reimbursed through our health savings accounts because we were so active and we're exercising. That's a lot better than spending $2,000 a year on Tylenol. Let's spend $2,000 a year on 5K run registration fees, golf tournaments, private instruction of the golf course, range fees, green fees, things like that.
So our listeners need to go to Fit America, which is PHITAmerica.org. Then what do they need to do, and why do they need to go there?
Along the right-hand part of the homepage, you'll see a reference to the FIT Act, P-H-I-T. Click on that. There'll be a drop-down that'll give you access to an electronic letter that just asks you to insert your zip code. And by inserting your zip code, it'll tell you who your local congressman is, if you don't know, and your two U.S. senators, and they will send an electronic letter to those members of Congress saying, pass the FIT Act. It can be that simple. Everyone can lobby in Washington without leaving their front door.
So get involved in the legal lawmaking process in the United States. The FIT Act simply wants to help you use your health savings accounts that you build up at work, deducted from your salary, for activities like golf or even a fitness gym membership, those kind of things. So sounds like a great program, Mike. Thank you very much. Is there anything else you want to leave us with today?
I just would encourage everyone to make activity and exercise a part of their daily life. Try to be active every day of the week, and if you're only active five, then that's pretty good. And play golf. And there's lots of exercise in golf, even if you ride a cart. Swinging the club, going from the tart to the green, raking bunkers, things like that. It's get out and be active. The outside is the ultimate gym, and the golf course is a pretty good place to spend some time.
The organization trying to get legislation passed is Fit America, PHITAmerica.org. Mike, thanks again. Talk to you later.
Will do. Four.
And like you mentioned, it's Fit America, PHITAmerica.org. And you go there, like Mike said, go to the, it says on the right, advocate. You click on there, it will take you to the page that he was saying, and there you will get where to put your zip code. So I'm doing my part, Fred. I started getting exercise again, and I have lost 14.5 pounds. So I'm on my way.
Good for you, man. Good for that is great stuff. Good for you.
I'm getting active.
So, great. Get out there and walk around the block a couple times.
Yeah. I'm running.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Well, Mike is you couldn't really maybe tell from that, but he's a really kind of hyper guy. He's really very active. He's real fit, and he walks the walk and talks the talk. And I think it's a pretty good program. We had someone on a couple years ago when they started this program, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to get the snowball rolling with this thing, and so everybody can be involved in the legislative process if they want to go to fitamerica.org, go to the right side and click on, just put your zip code in, and your voice can be heard.
That's the way it is. And that wraps up the very important guest, VAG of the week, Mike May from Fit America. We're going to take our last break. When we come back, we're going to have the practice range, and we're going to take a look back at the PGA Tour season. Don't go away.
Thank you for listening. We'll be right back. In the meantime, don't forget to visit www.edraft.com for analysis, breaking news, and more. Also, remember to follow us on Twitter at edraftsports and on Facebook at facebook.com/edraftsports. Don't forget to check out our co-hosts on Twitter by clicking their names in the episode description. Now, back to the show.
And we're back, and now it's time for the practice range. Every week, Fred and I pick a topic, and each of us take our shots at it. This week, we have picked to take a look back at the recently finished PGA Tour season. And looking back at it, you just have to say, wow, how can the PGA Tour top that next season? They have their hands full trying to realize how to have a better year if they want to try to top that. I mean, we saw the up and coming of the Big Four, Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, Jason Day, and Ricky Fowler. I remember last week, Kieran was right on point when he said at the beginning of the year, it was the era of Rory has begun. You know, that's Rory, he's the guy. Then Spieth won the first two majors, and it was the Spieth era. He's the guy, he's the Tiger Woods, blah, blah, blah. Then Jason Day won the PGA Championship, continued his demolition derby by winning 4 and 6, including 2 FedEx Cup events, and headed to East Lake as the prohibited favorite. And then it was the Jason Day era beginning. That's the guy, that's the one. Each one of them held the number one spot in the world during those runs. Now we're back to Jordan Spieth. He just strung together one of the most impressive seasons the PGA Tour has ever seen. He made $22 million in the process. He also happened to break out about every record in books. He became the youngest golfer since Horton Smith in 29 to win 5 times in a season, and the youngest since Gene Sarazen in 22 to win 2 career majors. The list goes on and on and on. He was the youngest player to win the Masters and the U.S. Open in a career, and had the lowest cumulative score to par in majors for a single season. He's $22 million, like we mentioned before, makes him the highest earner in a single season in PGA Tour history, and he became the second youngest player to become number one next to Tiger Woods. You don't need to tell me to tell you that Jordan had a damn good season because you saw it for his hand. As an amazing season Spieth had, it was even more amazing to see how he handled himself in those different difficult situations. In the second half of this year, Jason Day produced one of the most impressive and dominant runs seen in the modern era of professional golf. Since he missed that playoff on the Open Championship by a single stroke, he won 4 of 6 tournaments he contested, including the PGA Championship for his first major. And in his last 7 starts prior to this past weekend, he had a mind-blowing 101 under par and had gained the world number one spot for the first time in his career, even though it was just 1 week lived. You'll remember also during the week of the players when the National Magazine came out with a poll, you might remember among the revelations was that Ricky Fowler and Ian Poulter were regarded as 2 of the most overrated players by their peers. By the end of the week, though, that was a moot point, as you know, Ricky picked up the biggest win of his career there, and he had won only, you know, they said he had only once before on tour, that was and also once in 2011 on the Asian Tour. People even began talking about how he controversially won the Rookie of the Year in 2010 over Rory McIlroy. But fast forward 4 months, and he added the Scottish Open on the European Tour and the Barclays on the FedEx Cup playoffs. Not only that, he's up to number 5 in the world and cemented himself among the top 4 players of the moment and the foreseeable future. It's incredible that Rory McIlroy has become somewhat of a forgotten man here in those 4. Maybe mostly because of the time he spent sidelined with his ankle injury late in the season, but he still managed 3 wins in the season, and he showed he's almost back at full throttle at the end of the playoffs. Once he gets back fully loaded, what we'll see in golf are the fireworks that a 4th of July celebration would kill to have from this Big Four. And forgotten on this mix is Zach Johnson. Yes, the guy that won the Open. Yes, he won a major. Nobody's even talking about that. Man, that was a major win. You can see how big these 4 have become that Zach Johnson is not even mentioned this year. And speaking of the forgotten, the game's big falling stars, Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. Lefty was left an afterthought. Not even when he played the U.S. Open was he mentioned. And when he magically appears to be almost winning every year, nobody was talking about him. And Woods, other than his 3 rounds in the 60s at the Wyndham, all we did was talk about his injuries. How painful was to watch him struggle, especially at the beginning of the year. And now the talk is whether he can even come back and compete. Not anymore about whether he'll catch Jack or not. And to close, because I'm about to mute myself, I know Fred is dying to talk right now, a big, big highlight was seeing how Davis Love III, the 51-year-old Ryder Cup captain, closed with a 64 to win the Windham Championship for the third time and became the third oldest winner in PGA Tour history, just more than a year younger than Sam Snead, who was 52 years, 10 months, and 8 days old when he won his 8th Greater Greensboro title on the same course. If you saw that coming, come and see me because I want to play the Mega Millions or the Powerball with you, Fred.
Carlos, I cannot believe the season is over. It just seems like last month that we started talking about the tournaments in Hawaii and getting the season going, and now we're done. You know, it was a great year for men's professional golf. 2015 is going to mark a significant turning point for the PGA Tour. With the emergence of these four young stars, Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, Ricky Fowler, and Jason Day. Yeah, Rory's had some history. He's been there. You know, he reached the number one, and he's won majors, and he's done well. But with Spieth, Fowler, and Day kind of catching him now, there's going to be some really good golf coming up the next few years. You know, they ended the year, Spieth at number one, Day number three, Fowler number four, and Rory number 15 in the final FedEx Cup standings. You know, arguably the best shots of the year were hit by these young guys. Spieth's shot on the 72nd hole of the U.S. Open at Chambers Bay when he hit that fairway wood onto the green at the par 5 18th after he just made double bogey at the 17th with a near shank and went on to win the U.S. Open. Ricky Fowler's finish at the Players was simply unbelievable. He went 3-3-2-3. That's birdie, eagle, birdie, birdie to get into the playoff, and then birdied number 17 twice in the playoff. Jason Day consistently hit 340-plus yard drives at the very difficult Whistling Straits golf course to win the PGA. You know what? No Tiger, no Phil, no problem. We documented Spieth's amazing run in the majors this year, and then he went on to win the $10 million FedEx Cup after missing the cut in the first two playoff events. After a super year last year, Ricky Fowler won twice, posted a runner-up and a third, plus had 7 top 10 finishes. He won over $5.7 million into the year number 15 in the FedEx Cup and number 5 in the world. Rory kind of had an off year, won only 2 events, and finished top 10 in the Masters and the U.S. Open before he messed up his ankle playing footy. He still managed 7 top 10s and 12 starts, earned over $5 million, and finished number 15 in the FedEx Cup. Oh, yeah, he's number 3 in the world ranking, too. And then other than Spieth's 2 majors and FedEx Cup win, Jason Day had the biggest year. 5 wins, 11 top 10s, $9.4 million in total earnings. He held the number one spot in the world for just 1 week after his second consecutive win in the playoffs at the BMW Championship. And, oh, yeah, he battled vertigo and still finished T9 at the U.S. Open. Oh, and then he did win the PGA Championship, got his first major. So, Carlos, golf is in a very, very good place right now.
Like I mentioned, I don't know what they're going to do for an encore. And like you were mentioned also about Jordan Spieth, what he said, that they're just going to start working to make it better next year. It's just the same thing. What are they going to do better? The only thing he can do is win the Grand Slam or at least 3 majors. So, you know, this war, like I said, they're going to give us some fireworks. And I can't wait for Rory McIlroy to be back full throttle there and play the kind of golf that he can play. I would love to see those four going the last two pairings of the Masters next year to see what happens. So anyway, any final words before we go to our final putts on this subject?
Yeah, I got a real short rant here, just a really quick one. The wraparound schedule starts here after the President's Cup in a couple weeks. Third year starting a new season in October, immediately after the Ryder or President's Cup. 6 events in October, November to count to the 2016 FedEx Cup points and rankings on the PGA Tour. The best players have always had a full year schedule. They travel to Asia, Australia for big appearances. Now they got to stay in the U.S. playing these events. They do go to Asia for a couple weeks. You know, true the best golfers can pick and choose their schedule and do not play that much in these fall events. But I guess one thing the wraparound schedule has accomplished is identifying the most fit golfer. This is one of the reasons we're seeing so many young guys excelling on tour right now. It's a young man's sport, Carlos. Golf is now a long season and more physically demanding than ever before.
I really don't like that wraparound schedule. But anyway, we have to see it. They should just give it up. But anyway, let's go to the final putts. I'm going to start with mine. The top amateur golfers from Asia will compete in the 7th edition of the Asia Pacific Amateur Championship this week in the Clearwater Bay Golf and Country Club in Hong Kong. ESPN 2 will air all four rounds of play, first, second, and third round of play on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. October 1st and 3rd will air at 2 a.m. each day, so wake up early or put your clocks. While Sunday's final round will air at 3 a.m., put your clock if you want to see it. Additional coverage of play in the third and final rounds airs at midnight Saturday and Sunday on ESPN3. A final round highlights will air Sunday at 4:30 p.m. The champion receives an invitation to compete in the Masters Tournament, and the champion and runner-up are given an opportunity to qualify for the Open. Bill McAtee and Frank Nubolo will call play, while Dottie Pepper and Bruce Young will be reporting from the course and conducting player interviews. My second one is that Singapore will have to step in to stage a new 750,000 World Classic Championship on the Asian Tour in November after the organizers of the Indonesia Open asked for their event to be postponed. The new 144-man tournament will be played at the Laguna National Golf Club and Country Club and will be November 12th to the 15th. That's what the Asian Tour said last Friday. The 750,000 Indonesia, which is the country's oldest pro golf tournament and won last year by triple major Patrick Harrington of Ireland, was due to celebrate its 35th annual anniversary this year after returning to the Asian Tour in 2013 following 3 years of the rival One Asia circuit and was scheduled for the same dates but now will be played sometime next year. Last month, the Singapore-based Asian Tour announced they had entered into what they call an innovative joint vision for the future of professional golf with the European Tour. Thoughts are that that might be a merger with them. And finally, I have to say that the 2016 Afrasia Bank Mauritius Open, the only tournament tri-sanctioned by the European Sunshine and Asian Tours, will be played May 12th to the 15th at a new venue, and that is the Ernie Els designed Four Seasons Golf Club Mauritius at Anaïda. This year's edition of the tournament attracted some of the best golfing talent from all three tours, including the eventual champion George Coetzee, Chinese team star Guantian Lan, big-hitting Thai ace Kitadesh Abibanran, and 12-time Sunshine Tour winner Annie Haro, as well as Frenchman Thomas LaVey and Thomas Bjorn, who have won 12 and 15 professional titles, respectively. You know, that four-season golf club is set against lush mountains and fringed by crystal-clear lagoons. Six stunning oceanside holes culminate in a final approach shot, which is amongst the most spectacular in golf. So it's going to offer €1 million prize, and it will comprise 40 professionals from each of the participating tours plus qualifiers and local invitees for it.
Yeah, Carlos, I just got a couple things here real quick. Maverick McNealy from Stanford became the top-ranked amateur in the world after winning the Fighting Illini Invite Tournament in Olympia Fields Country Club in Olympia Fields, Illinois. He was on the Walker Cup team that just lost to the GBNI here a couple weeks ago. The Waste Management Phoenix Open has had such great success with that stadium setting at the par 3 16th at TPC Scottsdale. They're going to expand the concept to the par 4 17th. They're going to replace some village tents on the 17th with a luxury bay club with suites and boxes. They're going to range in price between $55,000 and $110,000, Carlos. Get your name in for years quick. There's already a waiting list. There'll be more seating put in at the par 4 17th for general admission fans, and suite and box fans will be able to view the 10th hole. They draw, of course, the Phoenix Open draws the largest crowd of any PGA tournament with more than 564,000 in last year. They're increasing the number of boxes and other luxury seating at the par 3 16th hole also. They're going to have 250 skyboxes on the 16th hole. That includes 20 new upper-level boxes on the green and 5 new loge boxes. that is unbelievable. They range in price from $150,000 to $200,000 for 80 patches. That is a lot of cabbage, Carlos. The 80 junior golfers have been recognized and earned their spots into Augusta National for the drive, chip, and putt competition to be held April 3rd. That's the Sunday right ahead of the start of the Masters. Carlos, I'm really hoping to be able to get there this year for that. I really want to see that. We got Trump news just real quickly. He's selling the furniture from Turnberry to raise some money because he's going to do a $200 million makeover to the old hotel there. He's trying to buy Trump International Golf Club in Puerto Rico. Evidently had a marketing agreement with them to use his name, but he didn't have ownership, and now they're going to bankruptcy, so he's trying to get the course bought. You probably played there a lot, I imagine. And he's also making some headlines. His luxury Dunebeg golf course in County Clare is seeking planning permission to build a huge seawall by moving 200,000 tons of large boulders along a 2.8-kilometer stretch at Domore Beach to prevent further erosion of the course. During two winter storms last year, the golf course suffered substantial damage at its 6th, 9th, and 10th holes. So, Carlos, that is all I have. That wraps up what I have for the Back 9 Report for September 29th, 2015.
Yeah, just one quick comment on the Puerto Rico, the Trump International there. There was a big misunderstanding in Puerto Rico because it was said that the Trump National, you know, when he started making those noises with his remarks and all that, everybody was trying to get something to say about Donald Trump. And back there in Puerto Rico, everybody started saying when the golf course was going bankrupt that, you know, Donald Trump was going bankrupt on there. And no, it wasn't. So, like you mentioned very well, they had an agreement to use the name. It's not a Donald Trump golf course. It's an agreement that they have. And the Diaz family, who is the owners of that golf course, now had to go bankrupt. And Donald Trump has tried to, you know, get to buy the golf course. And then it would be his golf course. And he would definitely continue with the Puerto Rico Open, which is in schedule for next year. Well, Back Niners, that wraps up another week of the Back Nine Report presented by eDraft.com. It's always our pleasure to bring you the latest on the world of golf. Thank you for listening to us for the last hour plus. Special thanks to our VIG, very important guest of the week, Mike May from Fed America. Don't forget to join us again next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time here on Block Talk Radio and also through TuneIn or download our show on iTunes. If you haven't done so, follow the show. Our Twitter ID is @Back9Report with the number 9 in the middle. My name is Carlos Torres. Along with Fred Alvader, we wish you to be happy, be blessed, and enjoy the great game of golf. Happy golfing, everybody.
Good night, everybody.